Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Talking about the hostage negotiations. Try and put yourself in the shoes of the parents for a minute. Parents, family, children of the hostages. And the government is negotiating, and then they fall apart, and then they're negotiating, and then they fall apart. Personally, I think that that is a psychological warfare tactic by Hamas. Because when Israel has the population protesting, then it's not like everybody has the same goal, right? It creates, whatever. But I do want to find out if these tensions are real, the tensions between hostage families and the Israeli government. So joining me is Kanan Lidor. He's a reporter, he's a correspondent, and he's no stranger to Chai FM. Good morning, and how are you, Kanan?
Hi, good morning, Kathy. I'm good. How are things?
Good, thank you. Would be better if the hostages were home. Do you think that's ever going to happen?
Well, certainly some of them. That's exactly the debate. All or nothing is where we're at, and we're trying to get closer to some. Now, so far, Hamas has not agreed to a partial deal, and the latest is that Hamas confirmed a list of 34 hostages that Israel demanded be released, but it has refused to tell us which ones are alive and which ones are dead. And also, they're still insisting on an Israeli withdrawal from the Gaza Strip and a permanent ceasefire, which is something that Israel isn't accepting because that's tantamount to letting Hamas stay in place rather than meeting the war goal of dismantling it. We also know that there are men under 50 on the list. And we also know that Hamas is looking for prisoners with very heavy sentences for in exchange, and that means Marwan Barghouti, the Palestinian national leader, who is not Hamas, he's Fatah, but he's still in jail. And if Hamas get him released, then all the credit goes to them, and they're all the more greater for it.
Kanan, do you think that? Let me just go back a second. Hamas released a proof of life video this weekend of Liri Elbag. When I look at, I haven't watched the video, I just can't bring myself to watch the video, but when I look at the picture of this young girl, it's telling me that there are things worse than death. Her eyes are dead. You've seen the picture, obviously, right?
Yep.
Right. And I just, the psychological warfare, yes, it is part of war. I get it. And I don't think that, you know, Israel is immune to that. In fact, Israel is, you know, Israel will exchange live prisoners for dead bodies. That's Israel. But I just think about the parents and even Hamas telling them, this person is not the parents, the children, this person is no longer alive. Do you think that that would bring relief if they did know that they were no longer alive rather than being alive and being exposed to torture?
We know that Emily Hand's father, when he learned that she was dead, she wasn't, but we believe that she was. She was a 9-year-old girl abducted from one of the kibbutzim, one of the more well-known of the hostages. Well, he says that it's actually a relief to him that she had died, and he knows that she's not in his hands, which was shocking. To hear a father, when Tom Hand said that he's happy his little girl was dead. I think that kind of put us in the mindset of many of these hostage relatives. It's purgatory. It's neither here nor there, and it's torment, and that's exactly where Hamas wants us.
So I'll tell you something else, is that there's also a tremendous deep understanding of, I'll tell you a story. I was speaking to a father whose children were on one of the kibbutzim on the 7th of October. And he was on the telephone with them while they were in this bomb shelter, and Hamas were coming. And he said to the daughter, and this is really shocking, but I need to tell you, like, this is not a new thought. But he said to his daughter's boyfriend, who was a soldier, he said, "Do you have a firearm with you? Do you have your gun?" And he said, "Yes." He said, "If these terrorists come through that door, you shoot my daughter."
Yeah, well, not the only one. There was another father who killed 14 terrorists at his home. But when the onslaught began, his wife gestured, because the little girl was there, she gestures to him to kill her and the little girl in case they break through. That's the reality of the situation. And that's farsighted, because
knowing what we know now, it would have been the right thing to do.
Right, because look at what these families are put through, what the hostages are put through. Dead eyes, as you put it, Kathy, exactly.
I just look at it and I just think what this girl has gone through. I mean, Kanan, you'll also know this, but, you know, maybe that's another conversation about the Hannibal Directive. Maybe we can talk about that later on in the week. We can unpack what the Hannibal Directive is. Is it something that's still in force? Are you comfortable to do that with me?
Absolutely.
Kanan Lidor, you are a keeper in every way. Thank you so much. And thank you for having these tough conversations with me. God bless. That is Kanan Lidor. He's a correspondent. He's a journalist. And he's no stranger to Chai FM.